What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your hosts, Jordan Klepper and Ronnie Chang.
I'm Jordan Klepper, and he is Ronnie Chang.
Hey, I can speak for myself. Can you help me say this next part?
I definitely can. We got so much to talk about tonight. Joe Biden gets into a fight with Papua New Guinea. TikTok might be banned forever, and we find out why people are yelling at your car.
But first, Donald Trump is being gagged and tortured, so let's watch it, you perverts, in our ongoing coverage of America's most tremendously wanted.
The whole thing is a scam.
Today was the second day of Trump's hush money trial, and the first witness was the editor of the National Enquirer. He testified that to help Trump win the 2016 election, he would buy scandalous stories about Trump and then bury them. And what a great job he did. I can't think of a single Trump scandal. Before they could even get into that, they had to hold a separate hearing to find out if Trump violated a gag order when he threatened jurors and witnesses. And that hearing did not go well for Trump.
It was a pretty wild and intense hearing on Donald Trump's gag order. It all turned into a very heated exchange between the judge and Trump lawyer Todd Blanche, who argued that Trump is being very careful. Well, a clearly frustrated Judge Mershon responded, "Mr. Blanche, you're losing all credibility with this court."
Minutes after the hearing ended, Trump attacked the judge on social media, calling him a kangaroo court.
Wow. This guy is incapable of keeping his mouth shut for 2 minutes. Has Trump ever considered paying himself hush money? I mean, think about it. But this is a complicated issue about balancing rights. Basically, the prosecution's argument is that a juror has the right to feel safe while serving on Donald Trump's jury, while Donald Trump's argument is that that juror lives at 34 West 52nd Street, and maybe someone should pay that juror a visit and straighten him out. This gag order is serious. Trump might have to pay up to $1,000 per violation.
Yeah, $1,000, that's not gonna stop Trump from talking, okay? You gotta deal with this like any other tantrum. You gotta give Trump an iPad with Coco Melon on it and let him zone out.
Okay. Then he's gonna expect Coco Melon whenever he's upset.
Okay, well, we'll deal with that later, all right? We just need him to stop now. It's so noisy, I can't even think in this house.
Okay. This is not what Dr. Becky would want. Anyway, for more on the results of the gag order hearing, let's go to Desi Leidick. Now that the gag order hearing is over, they can get back to focusing on the actual trial, right?
Unfortunately, no, because during the gag order hearing, Donald Trump made a jerk-off motion, so they needed a gag order hearing to see if that violated the gag order before they could get back to the first gag order.
Oh, but then after that, it's all set.
No, because during that gag order hearing, the judge heard Trump saying, "I'm Judge Peepeehead." And when the judge asked, "Did you just call me Judge Peepeehead?" Trump said he was just rehearsing for a community theater production where he plays a judge named Peepeehead. So then they had to have a hearing about that.
But once that's done, the actual case.
Yes, but no, because during that hearing, Trump made another jerk-off motion, but then he said it wasn't a jerk-off motion, so they need a quick hearing to determine how he jerks off. Then a hearing about whether he made the jerk-off motion, then Judge Peepeehead, then the first jerk-off hearing, then the gag order.
And then the actual case.
What case?
The hush money case.
Oh. Nobody remembers that. Keep up with the news cycle, Jordan. You're at the desk, for God's sake.
Yes, thank you, Desi. We'll check back in with you later.
Now, clearly, Trump thinks he's being treated unfairly in this trial, and he's not the only one. Something the gag order is just the start of the oppression Trump is facing.
Okay, Jesse, let me start with you. The prosecution says this is election fraud, and they say pure and simple. Is it?
I call it pure evil. So they've taken away his freedom of speech, and now they've taken away his freedom of movement. I mean, they had more allowances for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Oh, okay. That sounds wild. But I think Jesse Waters is a reasonable man because I was kicked in the head by a horse last week, so let's hear him out. How is Trump being treated worse than the mastermind of 9/11?
The guy needs exercise. He's usually golfing. And so you're going to put a man who's almost 80 sitting in a room like this on his butt for all that time? It's not healthy. He needs sunlight, and he needs activity. He needs to be walking around. He needs action. It's really cruel and unusual punishment to make a man do that.
Are we talking about Donald Trump or an old English sheepdog? You can't keep him cooped up all day. He needs time outside or he'll pee on the couch.
Look, we all know how Donald Trump loves exercise. Because of this trial, he's been morbidly obese for the last 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, though, would Trump even want fresh air and exercise? These actually sound like the punishments the judge would give Trump if he's convicted.
Yeah, I know. He's like, fresh air and exercise, just give me the death penalty. But listen, I'll give Jesse Waters the benefit of the doubt because I was also kicked in the head by the same horse.
There
so
you go.
Let's let him continue.
This isn't lawfare, it's torture. They're making a 77-year-old man sit inside a dingy room for 8 hours straight, 4 days a week.
Wow. 8 hours a day, 4 days a week. It's literally torture. Or, as the rest of the world calls it, a job. A part-time job, to be fair.
I mean, this is the same guy who's asking to be president of the United States. I mean, that's got to be at least a 40-hour-a-week gig. I mean, is he going to get overtime?
Also, I thought Trump was supposed to be the young, vigorous candidate in the race. Now when he needs sympathy, suddenly he's a poor, elderly man crippled by the weight of his own body, pulverizing his bones into dust against the chair. You know what? Get that horse back out here because I want to give Jesse one more chance.
They're telling the entire world, all the wackos, this is where the former president's going to be at this date, at this time, surrounded by high-rise buildings.
Yes, it's very dangerous for people to know Trump's exact location, which is why he lives in a nondescript building with his name on the front.
The Trump campaign also tells us where he's going to be and exactly when. They're called Trump rallies, and it's how I know where to go to get yelled at.
And you know the worst part about him being on trial is that they're just treating him like he's some kind of criminal defendant.
Today, the former president of the United States, if he leaves court to go to the restroom, jail. If he calls the prosecutor corrupt, jail. If Trump moves or says anything, they scream, jail.
If he mixes recycling, jail. Yeah. If he scratches his crotch, jail.
Yeah. He gets a high score on the SAT, Yale.
His favorite Batman, Christian Bale.
Yeah. His favorite vegetable,
French fries.
Yeah.
Definitely not kale.
No.
But he is going to jail.
He's going to go to jail.
Meanwhile, with Donald Trump trapped in the courthouse, it was a perfect opportunity for Joe Biden to seize the initiative. And hey, man, you got the campaign all to yourself, Mr. President. Time to press your advantage.
The Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea has angrily denied a false claim by President Biden that his uncle was eaten by cannibals during World War II.
He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
You're going to lose the election.
Yeah. Look, at some point we all get to an age where we confuse our own life story with the plot of Indiana Jones. It happens.
No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, the man's 80, okay? We all have grandparents who tell crazy stories. Like, my grandfather told me that he once wrestled a mountain lion with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and my grandfather told me that he cheated on my grandmother through their entire marriage and had a second family. Get out of here, Grandpa, you goofball!
And can I just say, even if this story was true, Americans are in no position to criticize how anyone else eats, okay? These cannibals eat people. Yeah, well, you know what? We eat Subway sandwiches to lose weight.
Right? Would a cannibal even eat people out of a wreckage? I mean, that's like their version of eating roadkill.
Yeah, I know. You want to eat like pasture-raised, grass-fed humans. And by the way, I know the prime minister was upset, understandably, but hey, if someone accused my country of being cannibals, I just run with it. Like, don't f*** with us or we'll put your dick on a Kaiser roll. Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. Anyway. Biden apologized to the Papua New Guinea Prime Minister by inviting him to a dinner with Pete Buttigieg, who will be served over rice with a balsamic reduction. So, yeah.
All right. Go. Before we go, let's check back in with Desi Leidig down at the courthouse. Desi. Okay, so any updates on the gag order hearing?
Actually, yes. The Democrats are now asking for a new gag order.
What did Trump do this time?
No, they're asking the judge to issue a gag order on Joe Biden. It's really the only way to stop him telling Uncle Cannibal stories.
Democrats are asking Biden to... But if Biden has a gag order, won't that affect his ability to campaign?
Yes. At this point, the DNC feels strongly that that's his best shot at winning. Otherwise, his strongest supporters will be cannibals, and that's a dwindling voting bloc for obvious reasons.
Yeah. All right, this is Leidig, everybody. When we come back, we'll find out the best way to yell in your car, so don't go away.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. There's a new bill making its way through Congress this week that could ban TikTok in the U.S.
And that would be a big loss for a lot of people. TikTok isn't just the viral dancing app anymore. It's also one of the main places people go to share opinions about the news and culture. Opinions like this.
So little did I know that Taylor Swift was literally going to prove the point that I was making in the videos I made a few weeks ago. So let's talk about that 1830s line in her latest song. And I also want to do it while talking about the abortion law in Arizona from 1864.
She really just jumped from Taylor Swift to abortion law, which means the first 2 seconds of that video has more tonal variety than Taylor's entire new album. Am I right, Jordan?
Don't get me involved in this. Two thumbs up, Taylor Swift. Way to go. By the way, if you watch a lot of videos like that, you've probably noticed how many of them are filmed inside of cars. It gives them that extra, I'm on the move and my disapproving spouse is at home energy. And if you're wondering, do I need a car to sound off on TikTok? Well, not anymore.
In today's world, you need a car that can do more than just get you to your destination. You need a car where you can sit in the front seat and record yourself going on an unhinged rant.
You understand what China is doing to us.
With this shit going on at the border,
the evidence we're gonna drop.
Respect and manners and common courtesy and even common sense. Did all that shit go extinct or am I just crazy?
Blah, 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 bitch.
That's why we here at Rent-A-Car are dedicated to finding the perfect rental car for you to make a video of yourself calling Nancy Pelosi Hitler.
What's next? People are going to start identifying as hamburgers? Well, hold the pickles, because this guy's 100% all beef.
Good morning, Miss Webb. Looks like you reserved a sedan to go apeshit on Target for pushing the trans agenda on children.
They got t-shirts with rainbows on them, selling CDs by Lil Nas X who worships the devil.
Great. Great, let's take a look at what we have available.
Thank you so much.
Our cars are the perfect place to voice your opinions, no matter what lane you drive in.
Shove a Big Mac up your ass now, Trump, because they don't got any burgers in prison.
Could I try in a hybrid, actually?
Of course. In fact, we have vehicles for all of your lifestyle needs.
Zendaya was literally sent from God to teach us about skincare.
That's how they're targeting you.
Rent-A-Car has everything you'll need for your deranged, rambling monologue.
When I picked up my Rent-A-Car, I forgot to bring my phone because I was so fixated on doing a TikTok about how the vaccines made my cousin's nipples fall off. Luckily, Rent-A-Car had a phone I could rent, and an extra pair of sunglasses, and an extra goatee.
So wake up, America. I'm over it. I'm sick and tired of it.
So come into Rent-A-Car today. You have the rant, we'll have the car.
Don't drink the sodas at Target. They got those 5G tracking devices.
When we come back, Stephanie Cohen will be joining us on the show, so don't go away.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
To the Daily Show. Our guest tonight is a professor of economics and public policy and the author of the best-selling book, The Deficit Myth. She's featured in the new documentary, Finding the Money. Please welcome Stephanie Kelton.
Stephanie, it's a fascinating documentary. I will say, you are setting out, correct me if I'm wrong, to fundamentally change how people see money.
Yeah.
That's a big ask. And we got about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I think a place to start is with MMT, right? Okay. MMT. If you can help us define what MMT is, and I think what the narrative, you're hoping to get across with MMT. What is the new economic narrative? It's no longer pull yourself up by your bootstraps. What is MMT telling us?
So, in economics, is widely known as the dismal science, right?
Because it's... You've got to get better branding.
Well, that's what MMT is trying to do, better branding. Because, you know, in the dismal science, it's all about scarcity. And we can never have the things that we want because there's always this really intrusive problem, which is, how are you going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Where is the money going to come from? And the problem is that we treat money like just any other scarce good or service in the economy. And what MMT is doing is saying, hold on a second, we're not on a gold standard anymore. We have this thing called a fiat currency, and it does make people nervous because a fiat currency sort of opens up space, and it's kind of like, wait, is money real after all? And so MMT is an economic framework that tries to have an honest conversation, that talks to people like grown-ups, not insulting people by telling them that you have to treat the government's budget like a household budget and speaking down to people. We want to be honest about the monetary system we have today, the capacities of the government to spend when you have a fiat currency and you're not tying your currency to gold and promising to convert into something that you could run out of, like physical gold. So we're opening up a conversation where there are still limits and you still have to make choices, but we can have an adult conversation about how the government can actually operate its budget when it doesn't face the same kinds of constraints that a household or a business faces.
I mean, I guess by that, I think that the big headline with this as well is the way we look at what the deficit means, correct?
Yeah.
Like, I hear deficit, you hear it in the news, you hear every politician talking about it, deficit equals bad.
Yep.
And the major narrative of MMT, modern monetary theory, is deficit good, correct?
Every deficit is good for someone in purely financial terms, and I'll tell you why. Because you're right, we use this word and it sounds inherently like something's gone wrong. If somebody's in deficit, there's a problem, right? You don't want to turn on the sporting game and find the announcer saying that your team is going to have to come back and overcome a 7-run deficit if they're going to win the game. It's always a bad thing, right? But actually, if you think about what the government deficit is, it's just the difference between two numbers. That's all it is. So
what a relief. Well, I guess we'll find that. Everybody's everything's fine.
It's fine in the sense that it's just a benign mathematical, like, it's the difference between two numbers. It's not even higher order math, right? It's just how many dollars the government spends into the economy each year versus how many they take back out, mostly through taxation. So simple math, if they spend $100 into the economy and they only take $90 back out, we label it a government deficit. And somebody records it as a minus 10 on the government's ledger. What we forget to do is to recognize if they put 100 in and only take 90 out, somebody gets 10. So the government's deficit is matched or mirrored by a financial surplus in some other part of the economy.
So did you guys meet backstage or something? Because what the hell? What is MMT? What's MMT? What does MMT stand for?
You handle
it. So it's modern monetary theory. And so, again, the currency, we're not on a gold standard. We're in the modern fiat age.
Okay, what's
so
fiat? What's fiat?
Well,
is it a good car that I should get or what?
What you're walking around with, if you've got some of this stuff in your wallet, is a tax credit. So those dollar bills that we're walking around with, we think of that as money, right? And we can use it to transact. We can use it to buy and sell things. We can use it to make purchases of goods and services.
Okay, and money is good.
It's good to have.
Okay.
Generally, and it's really good to have when you got to pay your taxes, because this is what the government expects us to hand over at the end of the day in payment of
taxes. Money is good. I'm with you so far.
But let's do this.
Okay.
What about that government deficit that you just mentioned, right? And I said every government deficit is good for someone. Why? Because it's just a financial deposit into some other part of the economy. The question is, good for whom and good for what? The government can increase its deficit to do things like feed hungry kids, tackle the climate crisis, fix crumbling infrastructure. All of those things are ways to use a government deficit that might have desirable results for people and for the economy.
So money is good. Deficit is good. I'm with you so far. So what's the what's the bad? What's the problem here?
Well, a big part of the problem is the way that we've been taught to think about these things, to try to stamp out deficits, to reduce them, to view them as inherently dangerous. They're not inherently dangerous. And as I just said, they can be used to help us accomplish important goals in the economy.
Okay. For example, if I go to Caesar's Palace and I borrow like $200 on my credit card and I put it on red and I lose everything, that's good.
That's bad.
Wait, why is that bad then? But doesn't the casino...
It's good for the casino. Okay.
And also, don't go to Caesar's Palace. That's a little gauche. First, it's bad. Maybe go to MGM or just something. But financially, that's bad for him.
But that's bad for you. But the point is to try to figure out and to wrap our heads around what it is we're actually capable of doing, because we're always told that we can't tackle big problems that we face. We can't deal with housing problems or education or climate, infrastructure, Social Security and Medicare always come up. And everybody always says the same thing. We can't afford it. We have this deficit or we have this national debt. Where are you going to find the money to do these things? And so MMT comes in and says, look, it's not about finding the money. The money is created when the government spends. Congress authorizes the spending, and if the votes are there, the money is there. The thing you have to watch out for is inflation. So it isn't as if it's a free lunch, there are no constraints, there are no limits. There are limits, and the limit is inflation. You can't run out of money, but you can run out of things to buy.
I mean, so this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm going nutshell here, your essential argument is, we're not bartering back and forth like this is an avatar for gold in our pocket. The government makes money.
Exactly.
They can decide how much money goes out there, right? You pay taxes. They don't need our taxes to fix big problems. They can make big money. It's on them to figure out how to spend it and put it into the economy in a way that can get big things done. And then the private businesses, they're the ones who have the money. The government just has created that situation. And inflation becomes the boundary that they have to act underneath. Correct?
Well done.
Well done?
Wait, what?
Well done. Okay.
Did you read? Yeah, she's a published author and created a movie, and still assholes won't f-ing do the research. But here's the pushback. Here's the pushback to Emmett.
I'm not memorizing the Wikipedia page.
But here's the argument. Here's what's so compelling. And Ronnie is he's a useful idiot in this. And, people are scared. I don't know a lot about money. And I think the narratives around money teach me to be afraid of it. It's something that we shouldn't talk about because I don't understand the underpinnings of it. And I think what is compelling about your argument is we can and have, like World War II, have figured out ways in which to create money and fix big problems. We almost need a giant, we need a big thing to focus on to get those problems done, correct? To get the narrative around it. Like, I think.
Well, it helps, and COVID was that big thing for a period of time where governments around the world suddenly stopped asking the question, how are we going to pay for it and what are we going to do about this deficit? And they just pulled out, I'll use the phrase, the money bazooka, right? Countries realized that they were going to have to spend a lot of money to shore up people's lives and livelihoods through the pandemic. And so, you know, we spent some $5 trillion just in the first 12 months or so of the pandemic. And I wish that climate was going to be that catalyzing event that kind of forces everybody to have that wake up moment and realize that we've been focusing on the wrong sorts of problems, that we really can tackle the problem of climate change. We can afford it. We got to watch out for inflation.
Sure. Okay, sure. So you're saying that MMT can be used to solve issues that we claim that we have no money for by basically the government making money, because that's where money comes from,
yep.
Right? And you're saying, but doesn't that increase inflation inherently if you just keep making money?
Well, no. I mean, the government has run deficits most of my life, with the exception of 4 years during the Clinton administration. The government's budget has been in deficit. Look at a country like Japan. They've had large deficits every single year for the last 30 years or so, and no inflation to show for it. And we hardly had any inflation. Inflation didn't really become a problem until COVID came along and started breaking supply chains and then wars in Ukraine. Ukraine and food and energy prices and so forth. But you can have large and persistent deficits without having an inflation problem. It's when those deficits collide against the backdrop of constraints in the real economy, where the economy can't keep up and satisfy that demand. And that's what happened in the COVID pandemic and in World War II.
So if it happened in World War II and it happened during the COVID pandemic, where inflation got out of control, when you had basically unlimited spending on one single issue, World War II or COVID, then how can you, what's the evidence that MMT will work then? If we had two real examples. I'm just joking. I have no idea what you just said, to be honest. Someone just briefed me on that, and I just repeated it.
So the evidence that it works is that MMT is a description of how government finance always operates, whether you have a budget deficit, a budget surplus, or a balanced budget. MMT is at work providing the explanation. So it isn't about ramping up deficits and running large chronic deficits. You can have a good, healthy economy in some cases with a relatively small deficit or maybe even with a balanced budget. It depends on a lot of other things. So the evidence that it works is that it's a description, and we think a more honest and accurate description of the monetary system we have and how governments actually pay their bills.
Now, I guess, in theory, how this takes greater effect and affects our lives and gets big things done. Green New Deal, that was a big part of the way in which it would be funded. We need to start looking at money like through an MMT lens, correct? That also presupposes that you do have this paradigm shift that we start to see as a country, as a collective, we start to see the usage of money differently. But getting people to have a cohesive change of mind and the way they see the world seems like impossibility from the experiences I've had out on the road and at Thanksgiving.
Well, look.
So, like, how much of, like, do we live in a culture where we can experience a paradigm shift, or is that in and of itself an impossibility?
I hope so. I mean, TikTok is there. I'm kidding. We're going to get better. No, but it's stuff like this, right? It's conversations like these that allow people to hear a different perspective. And also, I think, you know, look what the last couple of years, what we've done, in some cases on a bipartisan basis and in some cases just with Democrats. But you had the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the largest climate bill we've ever had in the history of our country. We have the CHIPS and Sciences Act, which big investments in actual productive capacity here in the U.S., and the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is repairing roads and bridges and, you know, taking care of our infrastructure. So those are three big packages, which I would argue are just an extension in many ways of what the administration started doing with the COVID spending. And it's just another example of the government being able to mobilize the financial wherewithal to commit to spending money that it doesn't have, because the money comes from the willingness of Congress to say yes. When Congress says yes and writes those bills, the legislation is the set of instructions that goes to the government's bank, the Federal Reserve. And it says, we've committed to making these payments. Your job as our fiscal agent is to carry out all of the payments we've authorized on behalf of the U.S. Treasury. And that is just how government finance works. It's no more complicated than that. But we complicate it with stories about taxes and borrowing and debt and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, the spending is really easy to carry out.
Well, you see, you're a very smart person. You're saying things very calmly.
Thank you.
And everything seems like it's fine. So how do we get to, what can people walk away with, like, if they want to, like, not be sad when they look at the deficit?
This is always his question.
How do I not be sad? Like, what's like the practical application? Because the three of us sat down here and we decided that the deficit is fine and we can, well, okay then. So we're okay? So,
well, look.
Like, what's the next step? Why would we actually, let's say we believe in MMT or, yeah, MMT. What's the next thing that, I mean, is belief enough? Do I just have to pray to MMT and then it? What has to happen next? Like, who else?
What has to happen next is that the people that we elect to represent us have to go in there and take decisions using the incredible power that they have, called the power of the purse, that they've got to take decisions about whether to fund programs, whether to cut programs, not on the belief that they ought to be operating their budget like a household, but when these decisions come up about Social Security and Medicare, or continuing with the Inflation Reduction Act and staying, you know, in the game on climate change and going even beyond what that legislation did. What I think gives me hope anyway is that we've demonstrated what we're capable of and that we can build on it and not revert back to old ways of thinking about austerity and the need to reduce deficits, because that's when you hammer your economy. That's when people have a lost decade. That's when all of a sudden, you know, the prosperity that is within reach starts to slip through our fingers.
So when the IRS comes for my taxes, I just got to tell them, like, yo, deficit is good. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
You know what you need to do? You need to take some THC or some DMT and let the MMT just wash over you. Let the paradigm shift come to you, Ronnie Chang.
Yeah, I think I'm in it right now.
I think you're in it. Well, Finding the Money will be released in select theaters nationwide and on demand May 3rd. For more information, go to findingmoneyfilm.com. Stephanie Kelton, we're going to take a quick break. Right back.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character, and so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
Wow, that was Republican Senator Mitt Romney. What a soundbite.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.